For I am the victorious one. And I have made you more than a conqueror. Believe in my victory. Walk in my victory. Live in my victory. And finish victoriously. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
This is by Cobblestone Road Ministries. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus won the victory. He conquered sin, hell, and the grave. He conquered all for you and me. Oh, what wondrous love, matchless, that our Savior humbly died. There upon the cruel Golgotha, he was willingly crucified. For 3 days his body lay in the silence of the grave. But on the third day he arose, triumphant over every foe. O victorious deed, unmatchless, when our Savior did arise. He is the life and resurrection, our high priest above the skies. All power is his alone. He is crowned in majesty and glory. The risen Christ forever ruling. That is the glorious gospel story. Oh, the sinner is forgiven. Oh, the sinner justified. For the Lord did rise victorious, and he gives resurrection life. He is the Lord of earth and heaven, and his blood does still atone. He gives life, and that eternal authority is his and his alone. The resurrection story. Amen. Well, Jesus is alive, isn't he? And we're so glad that you decided to come to VCF and to share the resurrection with us. And we're so glad, we welcome each and every one of you here for what God is going to do in us, through us, and to us this morning. Amen? Well, the resurrection is real. It produced real power, and it has real benefits. Amen? Jesus was literally raised from the dead. The power of God exploded in that tomb. It reconnected Jesus' spirit with his body and flooded his corpse with life, and he arose. Hallelujah. There was such a power surge in the tomb that the earth shook and quaked. An angel rolled a stone from the entrance of the tomb, and Jesus physically walked through the door. Because Jesus lives, we can live also, because without the resurrection, there would be no hope. All evidence points to Jesus being raised from the dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. And whoever believes in him finds life in Christ. We have life because of Christ. We have the same authority, the same standing with God, and the same privileges. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them with many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a span of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. I want to read to you from the gospel account of Luke, chapter 26. And if you would like to, you can follow along as we read this. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk to you about the resurrection. It's a place of comfort, it's a place of life, and it's a place of hope. Amen? And in Luke 26, I'll be reading from the Berean Study Bible, 24. Sometimes the numbers switch places. Starting with verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, Jesus was an early riser. Women came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. You know, I just had this thought, not now, but, you know, if the women hadn't gone to the tomb, I wonder how long it would take the men to get there. Just a thought. Verse 4. While they were puzzling over this, suddenly, two men in radiant apparel stood before them. As the women bowed their faces to the ground in terror, the two men asked them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." You know, the angels were the very first witnesses of his resurrection. Remember how he told you. Jesus is good to his word, and his word is good to the last drop. He told you while he was still in Galilee. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words when they returned from the tomb. They reported all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them who told this to the apostles. Verse 11, their words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. After bending down and seeing only the linen cloths, he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So here we are, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. All right? We're here to celebrate this day. And you know what? We should celebrate the resurrection every day. Amen? Jesus made it possible. Everything that we believe, everything that our faith rests on, revolves around this event, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right? And the resurrection is a magnificent place. You know what this does? It's where life cancels death. It's where exuberant hope defies all despair. It's where joy triumphs over sorrow. It's where peace overcomes every fear. It's where expectations overcome disappointments. And it's where praise bursts forth to overcome the shock. Amen? So we need to picture this resurrection. We need to grab hold of it. We need to live in it. And we need to rise up and enter in. Are you ready to rise up and enter in today? Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, but he gave us the same power that rose him from the dead to operate in, to walk in, to walk in, to live in. See, when you accept Jesus into your life, he forgave you, he saved you, and he raises you to a high position. And he positions you with everything that you need to succeed and to live in the resurrected life. I want you to make a decision today that you're going to live the resurrected life. Amen? You're going to come out of the darkness. You're going to go through the trouble. You're not going to camp out at sorrow campground. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, things are about to get better for you. Amen. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You know, the resurrection gives us hope. Because the Bible teaches that if Jesus raised from the dead, that you're going to raise. There's nothing that can keep you down with the resurrection power on your side. There's no foe that can defeat you. No trouble that can overwhelm you. All right? And in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 25, Peter is quoting a prophecy from David. Okay? And he's quoting from Psalm 16, actually, too. He said, "For David speaks concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope.'" I want you to rest in the hope today, that because Jesus rose, you can rise above anything as well. Because he's quoting the psalm, "Because you will not leave my soul in hell." Amen. God didn't plan for you to be to hell. He planned for you to be in heaven with him. And Jesus is your ticket out of hell. It is the only ticket. You can't stop going to hell any other way but putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone. "Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." You know, Jesus didn't have to buy a grave because he was only going to spend a few days there. Amen? He said, "You have made known to me the ways of life." How did Jesus make known us the ways of life? He showed us. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is the life of the party. Then he says, "You shall make me full of joy with your countenance." Verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ." Whew, David had a glimpse. He knew, he had a promise that there was going to be a descendant from his line on the throne forever, and Jesus is that descendant. "His soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Well, he came out with a new body. He came out with an upgrade. All right? "This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." There were many, many witnesses who testified, who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. "Therefore," verse 33, "being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." All right? So hope is seeing the Lord ever before you. You know, hope that is seen is not hope. But we know that Jesus is not in the grave. He is not in the tomb. He did not see decay. He is not in hell, but he is sitting at the right hand of God right now. And hope is having the Lord ever before you, at your right hand, so that you do not need to be shaken. Amen? Hallelujah. Christians are stirred, not shaken. Amen? Yeah, doesn't the Bible say, "Stir yourself up"? I'm not shaken, but I am stirred. See, nothing in the world can shake me because I have a hope in Jesus. I have a hope in the truth of his message. I have a hope in the truth of him. He is risen. Therefore, if he's risen, he conquered everything, so nothing that I face is going to overcome me. I have a hope. Say, I have a hope. Hope makes you glad and causes you to rejoice. If you're hoping for something, there's joy and gladness. Otherwise, you're not really hoping. Bible hope is a joyful, confident expectation of something good. Say a joyful, confident of expectation of something good. Joyful, confident expectation of something good. Say something's good is coming to me. Do you realize every day you wake up, you got something good coming to you? It's called the favor of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God. Amen? The Bible says he daily loads you with benefits. Daily. Tomorrow you're going to wake up and hear a dump truck sound. And it's going to be backing up to your door. And God's going to dump some goodness on you. He's going to dump some favor on you. He's going to dump some blessing on you. He's going to dump some help on you, some strength, some peace, some power, some joy. Amen. And it's all based in hope. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us to rest in hope. That means hope must be a strength that'll keep you secure. The devil can't mess your hope up. Do you realize the hopes of Jesus' followers were crushed on the day he died? Jesus himself said, y'all are going to scatter. And they did. Their hopes were crushed until the third day. Then their hope got renewed. Their hope got strengthened. They never doubted him again. And if they did doubt him, he'd let them touch him. Amen? Hope reveals the paths of life and fills you with gladness in the Lord's presence. Do you realize you don't have to wait a moment to go into the Lord's presence? Because of what Jesus did, dying on the cross and rising from the dead, every believer in Christ Jesus can go into his presence anytime, any place, anywhere. Because hope, it rests in his presence. Hope won't leave you in hell. Some of you think you may be going through hell, but I got good news for you. Hope's not going to leave you in hell. In other words, you got hope you're going to get out of the hell that you're seeing. Amen? You can have hope that you're never going to visit hell. Amen? That's good news. Only through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, you are heading for hell, but with Jesus, you're not heading for hell. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me to Acts chapter 23. You know, Paul encountered the risen Lord when he was on the road to Damascus. And this is where Paul was on trial. And starting with verse 6, Acts chapter 23, verse 6. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees were coming against him. You know, they didn't bother anybody unless you preached about the resurrection. But when you preached about the resurrection, boy, you stirred up a hornet's nest. There must be something about that resurrection. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, am I called into question? He did that because the Sadducees, the Bible says, didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay? And verse 7, it says, when he had said this, there also arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided, for the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So Paul says, am I on trial for the hope that I have in this resurrection? Amen? And see, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're sad, you see. I don't know why you wouldn't believe in the resurrection. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something made up. It is something that actually happened. Amen. So If you don't believe in the resurrection, you are sad, you see. All right? So, Paul believed, was certain, and held on to the hope of the resurrection of the dead. And, you know, that because he brought up the resurrection, that got him out of that trial. Amen? The resurrection is a rescuer. It'll rescue you out of trouble. All right? Let's go down to chapter 26. Paul was at the end of his life, and he was testifying before King Agrippa, and he made these statements about the resurrection. Chapter 26, verse 6. He says, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes, instantly serving God, day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." All right? So hope will cause you to earnestly serve God day and night. And he goes on. Go down to verse 22. Well, let's read verse 8, and then we'll go to verse 22. "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Listen, our God does the impossible. And God was so sure of a resurrection that he said it before it happened many, many times. He actually told his disciples 3 or 4 times that he was going to rise from the dead. He was going to suffer, but then he was going to rise. See, there's no amount of suffering, challenge, or difficulty that you could ever go through that there's not a resurrection to bring you out of. Do you realize every time Jesus thought of his suffering, his death, and his wounds that he was going to take, he had a resurrection on his mind. He was more resurrection-minded than he was suffering-minded. Why? Suffering is temporal. Resurrection is eternal. Yes. Suffering is temporal. It has a time limit. Resurrection has no time limit. It knows resurrection breaks boundaries. Resurrection breaks through sealed, guarded tombs. Amen? So Paul is saying, why do you think it's incredible that our God, the God whom we serve, raises the dead? All right? And then let's go down to verse 22 of that same chapter. Verse 22. "Having therefore obtained help of God." How many could use some help from God today? "I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as thus he spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad.'" Paul, Festus said, "Too much studying has made you mad." And I like what Paul said in response to that. Verse 25, he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." So the Messiah, he suffered, died, and Paul lived that life. The moment Paul encountered the resurrected Jesus, he lived and walked and moved and ministered in the resurrection power. He even said, "Don't believe my words or the words of eloquence or the words of man, but put your faith in the power of God." We can actually put our faith in God's power, resurrection power. Amen? Say, resurrection power is for me to benefit from. There's nothing it can't handle. There's nothing it can't face. There's nothing that can stop it. There's nothing that can prevent it. Amen? I mean, even the Pharisees, they were so worried that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, they were the ones that had the tomb sealed. And when Jesus rose from the dead, the soldiers went and told them. The Pharisees paid him off. Said, just tell them his disciples took the body. Now, who would take a body and fold up the clothes neatly? You know, many years ago, my grandfather had a house in the country, and my grandparents would go down to Texas. You know, you gotta be smart as a goose and go to South for the winter, right? So they'd avoid the cold winters and they'd go to Texas. Well, one year while they were gone, my mom and my parents are here. Good to celebrate Resurrection Day with them. They got a report that the house had been vandalized. And so we went and checked it out. And, you know, criminals did not leave it neat. They actually made a mess. I mean, they threw perfume bottles against the walls, and it was a mess, and things were strewed everywhere. So you're going to say that people came and took the body, and, oh, let's fold the clothes before we go, you know? Not to mention how much oil Jesus was anointed with. Pounds and pounds of oil. Man, that body was heavy, right? Not to mention the stone that you had to roll away from. It weighed about 1.5 tons. So when the Pharisees said they stole the body, it didn't hold water. Listen, the resurrection is a truth. And not only did Jesus raise from the dead, but he can raise you up out of anything. Amen? He can raise you up from a past you're not proud of. He can cause you to overcome mistakes that you did out of the spirit of stupid. Hey, I was stupid too. I made lots of mistakes in my life, but I learned from them, amen? But this is what we're talking about. The resurrection is meant to give you life and victory here until you go to heaven. God did not call you to live a defeated, humdrum, boring life. Oh, that Christianity, that's boring. You're not in it. Anybody that calls Christianity boring is not in it, because they don't know what they're talking about. All right? So Paul maintained a clear conscience. Hope will help you maintain a clear conscience before God and man. Paul never left the hope of the gospel of the resurrection. Once he met Jesus, he continued to walk in it, and he faced death triumphantly. He knew he was going to die. He knew that he had to go to Rome. He survived shipwrecks and being in the sea and being beaten and robberies and all kinds of trouble because he had a promise from God. And he lived and walked and breathed that promise in his life, and that's what God wants us to do too. Amen? And hope will cause you to earnestly serve God. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I mean, I'm really kind of focusing on the hope part of the resurrection. Because you know what? We live in a hopeless world. There are a lot of people that don't have hope because they don't know Jesus. All you got to do is meet Jesus, and you'll find that he'll give you all the hope that you can handle. Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, his life, death, burial, and resurrection is the key to having peace and being right with God. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you get all the benefits. Amen? He's the key to receiving all that God wants you to have. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Whoo! I mean, Jesus walked out of that tomb in a glorified body. He could show up behind closed doors, and he could leave just as quickly as he showed up. And he did. I mean, the disciples were gathered in places, and he would just show up, and they'd be like, what? You know, I like when the two were walking on the road to Emmaus. Jesus just showed up and walked with them, and they didn't even know it was him. And he was talking with them, but when he broke the bread, they saw. Amen? But this hope of the resurrection, it causes you to rejoice in the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Everybody say glory in tribulations. That must mean that you got a power working in you that's greater than the tribulation you're going through. That's why you can glory in tribulations. Oh, this little bit of trouble that I'm going through, it's like a fly. Why? Because there's a glory, there's a power, there's something greater working on the inside of me. With resurrection power, you can face anything in life and overcome and get through it. We glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works patience. You don't have to pray for patience, you just have to get in trouble. And trouble is your patience meter. How patient are you? Just let a little trouble come in and we'll see how patient you are. Tribulation works patience. And patience, experience, and experience, what's that last word? Hope. Hope. You know, hope is one of the big three. It's right up there with faith and love. Now, the greatest, these three are faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love, but it's right up, he's one of the three. Amen. Hope is one of the three. And I love this verse 5. Hope makes not ashamed. Oh my goodness. Hope will cancel out guilt and shame and condemnation. Hallelujah. Hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Hallelujah. Hope makes us right with God. Some people without Christ, they don't know how they're going to get out of the mess that they got themselves into. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? Jesus. He's your exit out. He's your icing on the cake. Right? Hope gives us peace and causes us to confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Hope develops endurance, strong character, and a confident salvation. Everybody say a confident salvation. You can tell when someone's not benefiting from the resurrection. They're walking like they're weighted down, burdened down, full of cares. You got to dip in the resurrection pool. Amen. And just like that tomb was left empty, Jesus can turn your situation around just like he turned that tomb upside down. Look at Romans chapter 4 there. And look at verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. That word imputed is an accounting term, means credited. How many likes to receive credits from the bank? Right? Credit means something was put in. Amen? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. How many believe in him? If you believe in Jesus raising up from the dead, you get imputed. You get credited. God puts it into your account. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. God credits you with victory. He credits you with overcoming. He stamps out defeats. Hallelujah. You know, defeat is a bill that the enemy tries to collect on you, but God puts his stamp on it and said, paid in full. And through resurrection power, you are undefeated. Woo! I have an undefeated winning streak because I'm connected to the champion. And he rose and I rise. Hallelujah. That's the hope of the resurrection. Glory to God. Hope looks forward to God's glory that'll be revealed. There's a glory coming. You may feel pain in your bodies now, but you're going to be getting an upgrade. When Jesus comes back again, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this corruption is going to put on incorruption. You're going to get a garment that's going to feel so good. It's going to remove every ache, every pain, every discomfort, everything that's out of sorts. You're going to get a glorified body. There's a glorified body coming when the risen Lord comes back again. Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 8. My goodness. Thank God for the hope. Look at verse 11. But if this is not automatic, you must make a decision to fulfill this word. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. How does he come to dwell in you? You ask him. You invite him. You welcome him in to your heart. Okay? If the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, everybody say also, quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Woo! I got a quickening. I got a quickener on the inside of me. I got a power generator on the inside of me. And when this mortal body needs strength and power, I can generate the power from within because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. When you get Jesus in you, you get his spirit in you. And in addition to having his spirit in you, you can be baptized with his spirit also. That's in addition to. Amen. Verse 18. Well, basically he's saying, since the spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you don't owe the flesh anything. You're not a debtor to your flesh. Your flesh's debt has been paid by Jesus. So, when you don't feel like raising your hands, you say, body, I don't owe you anything. Get your hands up. Yeah. When your body tells you, oh, you should sleep in today and don't go to church today, you say, body, I don't owe you anything. You're good and you're getting yourself to church. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. When your body says, oh, you're too tired to pray, you say, body, I don't owe you anything. You're going to pray. Yeah. Yeah. Mouth get to moving, tongue get to talking. Amen. You are not a debtor to the flesh. So then, now you owe your life to Jesus. Because he's the one who purchased you. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That means to me that you should talk less about your suffering and more about the glory. The glory has more value than your suffering. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. And then verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise the Lord. Say, my suffering can't compare to his glory. Yeah. Christ knows what it means to suffer. He suffered for us. He suffered what no man could ever suffer. So if you want to compare suffering, let's just compare with Jesus. Amen? All right. The resurrection should transform every aspect of your life. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Say, I'm ready for a transformation. You know, you're one decision away from transforming your entire life. You're one decision away from transforming your entire family. You're one decision away from turning your broken heart into a mended heart. You're one decision away from turning your regret into joy. What's that decision? By making Jesus Lord and following him all your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul is, he's ministering to us what he also received. How many appreciate, you know, when you minister to someone, you're ministering out of something that you've received too. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Everything that Jesus did, he did according to fulfill the word of God. He that was buried and that rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, otherwise known as Peter, and of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. So that's 513, or 513 right now, okay? After that, he was seen of James, 514, then of all the apostles, and there was 120 that were gathered in the upper room. So that's at least over 600 people, okay? And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul had an encounter with the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. The one that he dedicated his life to persecute and to come against and to go against, he met. You know, that'll change your perspective. When you're fighting against someone and then you meet that person. Well, hello. Paul underwent such a transformation that he instantly, immediately, swiftly stopped persecuting. He stopped resisting. He stopped coming against God, and he surrendered to God. Everybody say, he surrendered quickly. Are you going to be one to surrender quickly? Or are you just going to try to hold out? I remember one time I was in Gettysburg many years ago, before I was even married, we were doing an invasion with PFC. And I'll never forget this, but we were going door to door, sharing the gospel with people from a church in Gettysburg. And I came across this one individual, and we knocked on the door, you know, and he opened the door, and we got to talk to him, and we were just, you know, sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time when you go door to door, so you got to get right to the point. So we started talking about Jesus and about how much he loved him, and he was some kind of a news broadcaster or something. He said, I don't have time for Jesus. So the conversation ended, the door closed, and I walked away wondering if he ever made time for Jesus. You think you're going to have tomorrow? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, right now. Faith is right now. Amen? You have to make a decision in moments. I would encourage you, if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't leave here today. You make time for Jesus. He made time for you, so we can make time for him. Amen? So the resurrection should transform every aspect of your life. All right? Everyone whom Jesus appeared to in the 40 days after he rose, their lives were transformed. People who weren't following him closely started following him closely. Even Thomas and Peter, I mean, Peter, when he saw the linen cloths that were folded in the tomb, he was wondering. Because he was still dealing with his denial of Jesus. And now the one whom he denied is risen. Oh, is he going to show up and deal with my denial? But John believed quickly. Mary believed quickly. I mean, Mary Magdalene, she watched him be crucified. She was at the cross. She was in the courtyard of the high priest. She was the first one at the tomb because she had seven devils cast out of her. And she made up her life. When the seven devils left her alive, she made up her mind that she was going to follow Jesus. And she followed him all the way to every point from there on out. And she got to deliver the first resurrection message. I mean, what were the guys doing? Sleeping in or going fishing? Or I don't know. All right. Resurrection shows us that death is only an event in life. It's not the closing of it. You know, when you die, your life doesn't cease to exist. But you're going to exist in one of two places. And the only way that you can assure your residence in heaven is by making a decision for Jesus while you're alive. You can't do it while you're dead. You got to make a decision while you have breath in your life. All right? Jesus died and rose again. And because he rose, he wants us to live for righteousness. You can't just live your old way. You know, I like what the angel said. Why are you looking for the dead among the living? Some people are trying to live according to the dead works of the world. They want to hold on to Christ and hold on to the world. You can't. That's double-minded. You've got to go all out for God. You've got to be all in for God. You can't have any residue of anything else. It's all of God. Amen? And that means sometimes you've got to walk away from some things. Sometimes you've got to leave some things. God ended the pains of death because it was impossible for him to be held by it. Say it was impossible for him to be held by death. No matter what difficulty, challenge, or struggle or hardship you face, know that there is a resurrection power that will propel you over the top, above all the challenges, and into the winner's circle. You know, I was thinking about this. Just as a fire truck, you know, a fire truck is equipped to fight fire. And the fire trucks have a water tank in them. And a fireman has to keep that tank full because you never know when you're going to get a call, right? But that once that fire truck arrives on the fire, it's equipped with men and equipment that helps them fight the fire. And once you, I mean, you ever see the pressure of those fire hoses, right? I mean, if you just had one individual holding that fire hose, you'd be like, whoa, right? Because there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of force to put out that fire. But imagine, we got a resurrection in us. We're equipped with the resurrection power. And we got the same, we got more force coming out of us than that comes out of a fire hose that's either connected to the truck or the hydrant. Amen? We've got enough to fight the things of life through the resurrection power that's in us. And we just got to show up and fight the fire. You got to fight. And you can do that with the resurrection. Resurrection proves our redemption. Because if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, what I'm doing right now would have been in vain. Our faith would have been futile. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then coming here at VCF and gathering every week like we do would mean nothing. But let me tell you something, friend, because he rose from the dead, it means something. Amen? It's the proof of our redemption. When the apostles preached after Jesus rose from the dead, they preached about the resurrection. They didn't preach about the crucifixion. They preached about the resurrection. They didn't say, well, we're going to put you in jail for preaching about the crucifixion. No, they said, we're going to put you in jail for preaching about the resurrection. The crucifixion was a moment, but we're still walking in the resurrection today. And it's going to go on and on and on and on. Amen? The crucifixion was where your payment was made. But the resurrection is where you receive the benefits. The resurrection is like going to the luggage claim, the baggage claim at the airport. That's when you get your clothes that were on the plane. You don't know if they're going to get there or not. But once you get to the baggage claim and you see your luggage, you can take claim of it and you can take it home. Because of the resurrection, we can take the benefits that God has provided for us through Jesus Christ. We can take them home. We can apply it to their lives. We can walk in it. We can live in it because the resurrection power is real. And I don't apologize getting excited about the resurrection. And the resurrection produces a restlessness to let us know that earth is not our home. 40 days after Jesus rose, his followers got to see him take the elevator ride upstairs to the penthouse. Right before his eyes, he just started ascending up until he went past the clouds and they couldn't see him anymore. Earth is not your home. But while you're here, you can invest your life in heaven. Earth is not going to produce you any dividends. But it's what you do for God. It's how you serve God. It's what you invest in God's kingdom that's going to make the difference in your future. Amen? If Christ raised from the dead, Romans 6 tells us that all who believe on him are raised with him. That's good news. He shares our resurrection with us. Isn't that awesome? What other spiritual leader do you know of that shares their resurrection? There ain't nobody that ever resurrected. No other religious leader has done what Jesus has done, and Jesus shares it with us. He lets us partake of the resurrection. So I'm going to bring this to a close. Your risen Redeemer lives. Everybody say, he lives. He rose out of the grave for you. He is calling you up higher to live every day with him in his glorious resurrection power. Will you answer the call? Will you commit to live your life the way that God wants you to live? Will you do whatever it takes to follow him, no matter where he leads? The resurrection is a place that overflows with life, comfort, and hope in him. Jesus was resurrected, and he's now seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. His resurrection is the foundation of our faith. If there had been only a cross but no resurrection, our faith would be in vain. Because there was a resurrection and Jesus is alive, we have a future and a hope in him. Amen? So number one, if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, don't leave today without meeting him. It's not painful to meet Jesus, but it's certainly painful to live without him. Jesus is the only one that can mend broken hearts and restore bruised bodies. He's the only one that can repair relationships. He's the only one that can take our mess and make something magnificent out of it. He's the only one that can take the lowly and bring them to a higher place. Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, who conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he did it for you. Amen. So I want everybody to close your eyes.